1039 1450 WKXL NHTalkRadio.com. We welcome you to another edition of In Touch with Cale and Cormier. Ken Cale, Jane Cormier here. It's good to see you again, Jane.
Always.
Very happy times in New England now with the Red Sox moving on to the American League Championship Series as a result of their win. Yeah. You did, did you? Well, good. I'm glad you did. But at any rate, they're great times here as far as sports are concerned. And we have a terrific guest. I hope we didn't leave all the best stuff on the cutting room floor. We had a great conversation before the show started. But we're going to have an even better one now that we're rolling, as they say. So, Jane, take it away and introduce our guest today.
Yes. So we have a New Hampshire State Representative, Norman Silber, from Belknap District 2, which is Guilford and Meredith. Thank you, Norman, for being with us.
My pleasure.
And we actually have a very specific reason for inviting Representative Silber, and that is he is participating in a very unique event, I think, that is happening on Sunday, October 17th, 2 to 5 in Windham. And the event is called Empowering Parents. And I have to say that I 100% support empowering parents wherever that might be. And since I saw your name on the flyer, I said, you know what, I have to call Norman, see if he will come on the station and talk about it. So here you are.
Here he is, live and in person.
Live and in person, absolutely.
Yes. So tell us a little bit about how Empowering Parents came about.
Well, you know, it's... The problem is that when my phone rings, I answer the phone. And so, you know, I don't have a secretary. I don't have an assistant. Unlike some large states where if you're a state representative, you get assistants and things like that. In New Hampshire, because they pay us so much to be a state representative, we don't have enough money to provide for assistance. So I answer my own phone. And if somebody calls me and my phone is listed and my cell phone is listed, I answer the phone and I talk. And so I was called and asked, would I participate in this event and speak something about what parents can do to be involved in their children's, whether it's their education, anything having to do with their rights as parents. And it was really sort of serendipitous that this call came because I had received recently a number of calls and emails from constituents complaining about things that are going on in the schools that they're unhappy with.
Yeah. Big time story right now on federal level and state level about what's happening there. This event is actually being put on by the Government Integrity Project, which I hadn't really known about either. So it's kind of cool that we're putting the word out on that. Empowering Parents and the Government Integrity Project. So because parents know what's best. So you're part of this. They're having multiple speakers. And what is it that you're specifically going to speak on, you know?
Well, what I've been asked to speak on is the problem that some parents have been running into where they gather up petition signatures on a petition that they present to their school board.
Or even they could also be petitions that they present to their select board or city council or whatever it's called in the municipality, to put a petition warrant article on the ballot so that the voters can vote on it. Mm-hmm. So in New Hampshire, we have a long tradition of citizen involvement in government and citizens having a voice in government. So we have warrant articles that appear on town ballots and on city ballots and on school ballots all the time. Usually most of the warrants that appear on there are articles having to do with the budget or different things that the governing body wants to have passed. Mm-hmm. But we have the because of the history of citizen involvement, we have the ability, if you are motivated enough to get a sufficient number of signatures, you can put almost anything on the election, whether it's a regular election or a special election. You can, for example, one of the common things that's done in municipal elections is people petition to establish a tax cap. Mm. That's been a very popular thing. So, in fact, I've drafted a template for people to use in different municipalities how to establish a tax cap, because there's some very specific wording that you need to do. Mm-hmm. But what parents recently have been saying is that they're not happy with what's going on in the schools, and they want to put in restrictions on curriculum, for example,
right,
by petition warrant article. They gather up the sufficient number of petitions. They present it to the school board, and the school board basically thumbs their nose at the parents, mm-hmm, and says, "We're not going to call a special election, even though you have supplied sufficient registered voter signatures." Now, keep in mind, there's two different methods of having a petition warrant article voted on. There's two statutes. Our statutes in New Hampshire, our laws that have been passed by the legislature and signed into law by the governor, we refer to as RSAs, Revised Statutes Annotated. But basically, it's our laws, our statutes. And there's statutes governing petition warrant articles in towns and cities and villages. And then there's a statute that does the same thing with respect to school boards, school districts. Each of them have a methodology where if you have a certain number, typically a small number of signatures of registered voters in the municipality, such as 20 or 25, something like that, you can go on to and you present it, and the clerk of the town verifies that the people who have signed are in fact registered voters. They certify that to the governing body, and they then put the warrant article up on the ballot on the next town election. However, there is an alternative, which is if you get a larger number of signatures, typically 50 or more, depending upon the size of your municipality, and these signatures are verified, the governing body, whether it's the school board or the town governing body, has to call a special election and put that warrant article up on a special election just for that purpose. People complain, well, if you do that, it's expensive to have a special election just for this one article.
Yeah,
that's the biggest complaint. It's aggravating. It's expensive. It costs the taxpayers money, etc. But the reality is that if parents have gone to the trouble of drafting a petition warrant article, mm-hmm, and gathering up enough signatures to meet the threshold that's required by the laws to have a special election, golly, they should. They should have a special election. It's very simple.
Yeah.
And there are, what I've been asked by constituents and others is, well, what happens if they thumb their nose at us and they just say, you know, yeah, you got the signatures. We don't dispute that, but we're just not going to do it. What do you do?
Interesting.
So what do you do? I've got an answer for that.
You do?
I do have an answer for that.
Okay. What do you do?
Well, I have a lawyer answer for that. Unfortunately, then I have to put my lawyer hat on.
Oh, gosh.
So, sorry about that. Okay, so in American, most of our legal system and jurisprudence in the law here has been inherited from England. 49 states other than Louisiana, we inherited our laws from England. Probably, perhaps more so in the colonies, in the original colonies like New Hampshire, than in some of the other states. But there is a legal maxim, which is sometimes honored only in the breach, that says that for every right, there must be a remedy. And where there is no remedy, there is no right. So every right should have a remedy. So the remedy that our common law has is to go to court, sue the governing body that is thumbing their nose at you.
So it would be that school board,
for instance.
Yeah, for example.
Mm-hmm. And you go to Superior Court and you file suit and ask that the court issue what's called a writ of mandamus. It's called M-A-N-D-A-M-U-S, mandamus. And what a writ of mandamus is an extraordinary writ or order from the court that directs a public official or board to do that which they are required by law to do.
Mm-hmm.
In other words, when these petition warrant articles are presented in the proper form with the proper number of signatures, the governing bodies really have no discretion to turn down and say, no, we're not going to put it on the regular election, we're not going to hold a special election, whatever, go suck a lemon. They can say that, but
the people still have recourse.
The people have recourse. That's okay. Right. And so the problem is, of course, that you got to go out and you got to find a lawyer. Mm-hmm. And
well, first you have to know that you actually have a recourse.
That's exactly
available.
Right. That's exactly
so
right.
So that's important information. You know, this event that's happening has different, you know, public representatives there. And I think that they're all going to talk about different aspects of why we're even having the conversation of empowering parents. And yours is obviously because you're an attorney and you're you know, how does that work? And this information is really important. But I think it's important that folks that might have a passing interest, even a passing interest, in seeing what's happening in certain places with school boards here in New Hampshire and understanding that they need to be present and participatory, that's the important thing with this event, in my mind.
I think that's right. I mean, the real key goes back to registering to vote, going to meetings and seeing what's going on, and getting candidates who are like-minded elected mm-hmm. to a majority of your school board.
Yeah.
I can tell you in the town I live in, we have a 5-member school board. We have 2 who are fairly conservative for the parents, and we have 2 people whose terms are coming up. So in March, they're going to be coming up for elections.
Mm-hmm.
And we already have some candidates to run against them. All we need is 1 more person on that school board.
Right.
And we have a majority.
Right.
And then...
That's how you flip them.
That's exactly how you flip them.
You know, in Alton, when my family and I were living in Alton, we had a really challenging time with the school board there. And we planned within like a 2-year period, 2-3-year period, how we were going to flip it. And of course, it was like when that seat would come up. Mm. Right, we'd plan.
Yeah.
And they were able to do such good, I think, good work for the parents in that district because we flipped it. And people are so overwhelmed, right, with the abyss of government and governance.
Sure.
That they tend to throw their hands up and go, oh, there's nothing we can do.
Right.
But that is absolutely not true.
Well, I want to bring to your attention one thing. This is the... I call this the silly season, the beginning of the silly season, because we're moving into a big election cycle. Candidates are coming out of the woodwork for state races and for federal races more so than the state races. But eventually the state candidates will be coming out as well. The legislature in New Hampshire meets in a 2-year cycle, a biennium. And that's another story. It used to meet every other year, and that would... You know, Will Rogers said that no man's life or property is safe while the legislature is in session. A truism, definitely. And you shouldn't look in a restaurant kitchen where sausage is made or where legislation is made either.
Oh, Mama Mia.
But in any event, we finished from January to, say, June or July. We had the first half of this biennium, the 2021-22 biennium. So we, even though with COVID going on, the legislature did meet. We considered well over 1,000 bills. We passed some, didn't pass others, et cetera. So now the question is, what's going to happen this coming year, 2022? And we had a very limited, literally 3.5 or 4-day filing period in September, during which if you were a representative, you could file proposed legislation to be considered next year. The average person doesn't know the process. It's convoluted to say the least. When you submit something, it's not like you have to write it out. You can just jot down on a piece of paper or an email what your idea is. Whether you've written it all out or whether you just jot down an idea, you send it to a division of the state staffed by state employees called the Office of Legislative Services,
mm-hmm.
and they produce a draft of a bill in the format that is typically used. So, for example, every bill says being enacted by the General Court of the state of New Hampshire. And then there are lines. They put line items on there so you can actually sort of tear it apart if you want to. And eventually it goes back and forth. You, the proposer, gets the draft back from Legislative Services, and then you finalize it and you approve it. You may get co-sponsors, and then it gets assigned a bill number, and then it gets to the speaker's office, and it gets assigned to a standing committee. They have hearings, public hearings. Okay, so a public hearing comes up, and the calendars are published every week. and it shows what committee hearings are going to be and what bills are going to be considered. And you can look up the bills on the General Court website. If you Google NH General Court, it'll take you right into the General Court website, and you can click on the House or the Senate, and you can do a bill search, and they have advanced bill searches, and you can literally see any bill, who drafted it, who's proposing it, who's co-sponsoring it, what committee it's going to be in front of, when the hearings are, et cetera. You can see the language of the bill. And I encourage people who have an interest in a particular piece of legislation to go to the legislature. Go down to Concord, park, come in there, and masks are optional now in the State House.
It's good to know.
State House is open. Masks are optional. And you can go in there, and at a committee hearing, the committees are comprised of representatives who've been assigned by the Speaker's office based on the proportion of the different political parties in the legislature. So right now, a typical composition of committee might be 11 Republicans and 10 Democrats. And the chair and vice chair and a clerk of the committee will be assigned by the Speaker. And they run their public hearings different ways, but I can tell you that typically it'll be on the calendar. They'll call a particular bill. There's an audience, place for audience to sit. Now, one of the things we do require in the legislature is if you are a paid lobbyist, not only do you have to register with the Secretary of State, but you have to wear a big orange badge.
Which I love that.
Which is,
I think
it's almost
good.
Like the red A from Hester Prynne.
Right. But at least you know the people that are testifying.
You're sitting there. That they're hired guns.
That's important to know.
They're the hired guns.
You know what? We've sort of veered off here, though. We want to make sure that everybody, number one, our point that we were trying to make is presence, being present in the process. And you mentioned a website that they can check legislation. Again, what is that?
It's NH General Court. Just Google NH General Court, and it'll take you right into the General Court, and then you can click on either the House or the Senate, and you can look at who's my representative, who's my senator.
Everything,
you can look up everything about it. Right.
Because most people don't know. They really don't. Most people don't know.
Now, if you have a bill, if a parent has a bill, now I will tell you, Representative Terry from Belknap County, from Alton, who is a retired Presbyterian minister, is the vice chair of the County Republican Party, has introduced a bill for a parental bill of rights.
Yeah.
A long, detailed parental bill of rights, spelling out parents' rights over their children.
Can you imagine that we even have to do that?
I can't imagine.
Well, what's interesting is that this was passed. This is modeled what Representative Terry, with my assistance, has done, has introduced this bill. It's almost word for word of a law that was passed by the state of Florida a few years ago.
Good.
So we've changed a few things around to make it a New Hampshire terminology. But basically, it's the same law that has been in force, and it says what parents' rights are. You have they're your children. And, you know, there are some people in the education establishment in our state and elsewhere who say, drop off your kids and leave us alone, and if we need your help, we'll tell you.
Yeah.
Or we're going to tell your kids what they need to do, and we don't want to hear from you or your suggestions or anything like that. That just doesn't fly. It doesn't fly with me. It doesn't fly with a lot of people. It should not fly with most parents.
Well, I mean, give parents a break, because most of the time you have two parents that are working. They've got everything that they're dealing with at home. And for them to be educated enough to understand that stuff is happening behind the doors, you know, that's why it's important to discuss it. That's why it's important to hear this kind of information, because a lot of parents are just trying to get through the day.
Well, it's interesting, you know, you're talking about the drop-off and not really knowing what's going on. The one place that you can find out if you're a parent of what's going on is in the school bus, because most of our school buses have cameras. And they do video.
True.
They video what's going on in the school buses. There have been proposals. I don't know if there's a present pending bill, but there has been some talk about putting cameras in the classrooms and putting them up so that you could go on to YouTube or a feed from your SAU or whatever, and see what's happening in, you know. Now you can imagine, you can imagine what the teachers' union's reaction to that. They're going to love that, you know.
Yeah.
And so, I mean, it's no different. I mean, as a parent, you can go in to a classroom and to one
watch.
Of your and watch, and they don't like that either.
Norm Silber is our guest, state representative and practicing attorney representing Belknap District 2, Guilford and Meredith. We'll take a break. It's Kale and Cormier right here, 103.9, 1450 WKXL. In Touch with Kale and Cormier continues right after these words. 103.9, 1450 WKXL, NHTalkRadio.com. Another edition underway of In Touch with Kale and Cormier. And we're learning a lot today from our guest, Norm Silber, who is a practicing attorney as well as being a state representative in his second non-consecutive term.
That's a mouthful.
It is.
Yeah, right.
It is. And, you know, parents do have some power. There are a lot of parents out there who don't think they do at all.
They have all the power if they use it.
Yeah, if they use it. But many don't know what avenues to take. So that's a little about what we're talking here today and very important information. And how can parents, you know, most people, I would say, the vast majority of people, parents, never attend a school committee meeting.
Mm-hmm.
The
right.
vast majority.
Yep. Right.
I mean, you'll see the same parents there all the time, I'm sure, but it's a very small percentage.
That's correct.
And I think people are a little, perhaps a little intimidated.
And they're about to get
getting
more so.
Involved. Yeah.
Right.
I mean, we know, I'm sure you're reading the same news headlines we are, where now, like, almost mandated that if there's, strong conversation, you could be looked at by the FBI. I mean, is that right?
I saw stories where they said if you stand up at a school board meeting and protest something that they're doing loudly enough, they'll label you a terrorist.
Yes. Oh, my gosh.
So, I mean, this is craziness.
Yeah.
But you know, you used to be in Alton. My recollection is a couple of years ago, the Alton school board actually had a parent taken away from the school meeting in handcuffs because he happened to speak out and they didn't like what he was saying and he wouldn't stop talking about what he wanted to say.
Yes.
So it's happened in Alton. It's happened in a couple of places.
You know, if you're paying attention, and at that, I was actually at a school board meeting in Alton when I was serving there, where twice we saw people removed from the meeting the school board felt was inappropriate. It wasn't inappropriate. There was no cussing. There was no violence. There was no threats. But, you know, when they put that 2-minute limit on the speaker, I think that's heinous. You know, I understand that they can't sit there for an hour and talk or a half hour and talk. But many school board now have come up with all of these fancy schmancy rules, which limits the ability to discuss anything. For instance, school board's big thing right now is that you can talk about things, but they can only be the things that are on
the agenda.
Yeah. Right. So if it's not on the agenda, or if the board decides to take it off the agenda, that parents up the creek. Why? Like, who made that horrendous rule? Or that you have 2 minutes to speak. And understand that when you speak, that school board is not going to discuss what you say. They're not going to say anything. It's just you getting you get that 2 minutes to speak. Well, thanks a lot.
Well, and to give you a perfect example of exactly that, in Guilford a couple of months ago, Guilford has an SAU that we have three schools in Guilford. We have an elementary, middle, and high school. And we have about 1,000 children in the schools together, including some children from Gilmanton that are shipped over to the high school. The enrollment in the schools in Guilford has been declining over the past decade, as it has in many places, while the staffing sort of keeps on going up, and the amount spent per student keeps on going up.
Yeah.
Now, so what happened within the past couple of months is the very highly paid superintendent of schools in the Guilford SAU was arrested for domestic violence. And he was arrested for domestic violence. His mugshot was up on the web. And so he took a leave of absence before he could be given a leave of absence.
Right.
So I went to the next school board meeting And even though I don't have a child, my son has grown, I don't have a child
in the
school.
But you're a state rep.
But I'm a state rep. And I said something to the effect that, is this man on a paid leave or an unpaid leave? If he is not on an unpaid leave, why are you paying him? And the patter was, even though they didn't say it specifically, but there had been some indication that they were going to wait until he had his court appearances. Well, the first appearance was going to be in October, sometime this month, and that wasn't even going to be his trial. And I said that it's disgraceful that you're continuing to pay this guy, and if these charges are sufficient for him to be arrested, and unless he cops a plea or is exonerated or something, he should be cast out. We used to talk in terms of that in a community. If somebody just did not conform to the rules of society, you would cast them out. I said, why do you not cast this guy out? Why do you not terminate this guy's contract?
Because they were probably afraid they were going to get sued.
Well, maybe so, but the reaction I got from the school board members sitting there was like the three monkeys. Their ears were covered, their eyes were covered, their mouth was covered. The silence was deafening. The silence was deafening. They don't respond.
No, they don't respond because they don't have to respond. But you know what? When parents start to show up and start to ask questions like that that actually make sense, that are commonsensical, and get the other people sitting there thinking, I won't say all school board members that this is true, because there are some good school board members that are there for the right reason for the kids,
mm-hmm.
right?
Yeah.
But you know what? The power that they exert over the school systems, by and large, I think they really don't want the push coming from the outside in. They don't like it. And that's why they, even in the past 5 years, I've seen a difference. In the old, 5 years ago, you might have some discussion when something was brought up. Somebody might talk to you. Now, if you go to meetings now, nobody says anything on the other side of the table. It's like deafening silence.
Deafening silence. Well, the other aspect, one of the aspects of this that parents need to consider, not only is what's happening to their children very important to them and that they have a right to know what their rights are and that they have a parental bill of rights, but if you look at your tax bills, you will see that the largest portion of your tax bills is for the support of the schools. And as a former member and former chair of the budget committee in my town, where we got presented with proposals for the budget committee, to the budget committee from the schools, in addition to the municipality separately, and we would go through there and we would ask for justification of things, some of the stuff you just couldn't make up. There's a whole alphabet soup of organizations that taxpayer money is used to support, which then turn around and come into the legislature and lobby the legislature. Mm. Taxpayer-supported lobbyists, which are outrageous.
Mm.
And you get organizations that send around to different schools, to the school boards in the state, model policies for different things, whether it's model bathroom policies or model whatever. And many times the school boards just approve them, adopt them verbatim.
Right. And they don't do any of the work.
And I've seen that, you know, where you have an SAU, and which is we have in most places, the staff of the SAU prepares the budget. They put the budget together. They present it in the forms that the Department of Revenue Administration just requires them to present it. And there's a signature page for the members of the school board to sign.
Mm-hmm.
And I have been in school board meetings where the superintendent or the finance director of the SAU brings these in. They're flipped open to the signature page. And the people who are members, elected members of the school board, sign the bloody forms without even reading them. Mm-hmm. That's outrageous.
Yeah. Well, then, you know, who knows why they're doing that?
Kind of like Obamacare, you know?
You got to
actually read it.
You got to pass it to be able to understand what's
right.
in it, right?
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah. We're still having that happen on all over the place, you know.
Yeah, but it goes back to the elections. You got to go back, step back. It's electing the right people to the school board. And it's a thankless job being on the school board.
Yeah,
you know,
it sure is.
You either get paid little or nothing.
Right.
And I even jokingly said I was at an event with the chair of the school board in my town recently, and I said, how does it feel to be a punching bag? Mm-hmm. You know, that's basically
it's a tough one because the system doesn't doesn't support the school board member that really wants to do the right thing.
Yeah.
The system promotes those that will support the quote system. And that can be a very uncomfortable place to be, you know?
That's well, of course, now we in the last legislature, we passed an educational savings accounts, educational freedom accounts, which allow certain people whose family income is below a certain level to be able to get the state money that would normally go to public school,
mm-hmm.
and they get that ability to use that money to send their child to a private school, a parochial school,
right.
a charter school, or homeschool.
Mm-hmm.
And those are alternatives, and particularly with COVID, where parents have taken advantage of alternatives to the public schools during the COVID epidemic, a lot of them are not coming back to the public schools.
Mm-hmm.
And so there's
That's a big
movement to enhance that and to make it available.
Yep. Unlike
Massachusetts, for example, has a law that limits the number of charter schools that are allowed to be established in the state. New Hampshire has no cap, no limits
on
that.
And they are growing.
They are growing.
They are growing.
Yeah.
And we'll talk about that a little bit more. We have to take a quick break here. It's In Touch with Kale and Cormier here on 103.9 1450 WKXL, NHTalkRadio.com. Our guest today, Norm Silber, New Hampshire State Rep, also a practicing attorney. Back with more after these words on WKXL. 103.9 1450 WKXL, NHTalkRadio.com. Welcome back. It's In Touch with Kale and Cormier. Ken Kale, Jane Cormier here, joined today by Norm Silber, who is a New Hampshire State Rep and practicing attorney. And before the last break, we were talking about the opportunity for school choice in New Hampshire, which is greater than it's ever been right now. And as you said, Jane, growing all the time.
Yeah.
And I think a very important factor in today's educational world is the opportunity for choice.
Yes.
Yeah.
Isn't that funny? You would think that would be such an easy thing.
You would. Yeah, you would.
But you know what? There are those that really don't. They want institutionalized education for many different reasons without offering folks, you know, overtly the choice
right.
on where to educate their child. This event, again, let's give them another another plug here. So the Government Integrity Project, which you can actually go online, gipamerica.org, is having a very special event Sunday, October 17th from 2 to 5. It's in Windham, and this is going to be a presentation that's called Empowering Parents, the Struggle for Control of Your Kids, and is going to be great information at this event. There's great people. The speakers are going to be Senator Bob Guida, Rick Ladd, who is the New Hampshire House Education Committee Chair, Glenn Cordelli, who is a New Hampshire State Rep, been there forever on the Education Committee, and of course our guest today, New Hampshire Representative Norm Silber as well. So Government Integrity Project, if you want information about empowering parents, you can go www.gipamerica.org.
Let me put in a plug for Representative Glenn Cordelli. Glenn has been a rep for a long time, and he's really been the father of the school choice movement. We don't really call it school choice. We used to call it educational freedom. Educational freedom. We actually had a meeting, an event in Concord about a month or so ago, where we had the former federal Secretary of Education, Betsy DeVos, and Mike Pompeo as the speakers. And they also had a pollster who had done a lot of polling of what sells to people in different across the aisle, different things. And so the preferred denominator now to call what we're trying to do is not school choice, but educational freedom.
Oh,
yes.
Educational freedom.
There you go. Words matter, right?
Yeah, words matter. Yeah, educational freedom seems to sell a lot better.
There you go.
So,
educational freedom. I'll try to remember that.
Educational freedom. And now, you know, we have a program that Kate Baker administers in the state that is a scholarship program where if you are subject to the interest and dividends tax, you can actually elect to have a portion of what you would normally pay to the state go to this scholarship program, which is then available in an educational freedom environment. Mm-hmm. So that's been around for a couple of years now.
Yeah,
they do a good job with that.
Yeah, she does. She's been working that for, you know, 15 years.
Yeah.
Which is great.
Yeah, no, it is. So if you've learned nothing else on this program today, you've learned that phrase, educational freedom, rather than school choice.
Okay.
I'll try to use that.
Yes. I'll try to remember, too.
Educational freedom.
These days, are there more outside influences in trying to, influence or convince schools in our country, not just in the state of New Hampshire, but throughout the country, in introducing different curriculum? I think of CRT in particular.
Mm. Oh, yeah.
Critical race theory.
Oh, yeah.
And, that's been a bone of contention for some time now.
Yes, it should be.
Yeah.
Well, there's been proposals, and I think there even was a bill passed last term that prohibits the teaching of CRT. The problem with that is that you can prohibit the teaching of CRT, but CRT is a chameleon.
It
can change, and it doesn't have to be called CRT, but which is what they do. They change the name, and it's diversity and inclusiveness and all these other kinds of little catchphrases.
Yeah.
And basically, the problem is that the concepts, the label doesn't matter. It's the concepts that matter. And it's a shame. There are curriculum issues constantly.
Mm-hmm.
CRT is a major issue. There's influence from the outside on CRT. There's influence to teach the Black Lives Matter concepts.
Yep.
All sorts of things like
that. They're rewriting our history.
Right. They're rewriting our history. You know. So, for example, Monday, yesterday, was Columbus Day.
Right.
And there were proposals, and there are pending bills to rename it to Indigenous Peoples Day.
Mm-hmm.
That's been going on. But people have been trying to do that for years.
That'll go through.
Well, I don't think so.
We're so crazy with political correctness.
Yeah, I don't think so.
Right? We've gone past the point of even common sense.
Yeah.
And people are so, I'm sorry, some people are sheep. And you know what? Just even start to go to that political correctness thing, and they'll sit right down because you know what? They have other things that they have to, worry about, right? I've never seen it. I have never seen, since 10 years, and I know that that's not a long time, but I have never seen the environment, the public square, so intimidated to speak.
Well, one of the things that upsets me greatly, I was involved for many years in an organization that's sort of fallen into a little bit of disrepute, but which really has been around for a long time, called the Boy Scouts of America.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And I worked with a lot of young men who were in the scouting movement, and they were studying to try to achieve the top level in scouts. It's called an Eagle Scout.
Yeah.
And it's really they have to go through a whole elaborate process of earning a variety of merit badges. And one of the merit badges that's required for Eagle is called Citizenship in the Nation. And in that particular merit badge, I taught that merit badge to many, many young people. And I would hand out copies of the Constitution and the Declaration of Independence. Mm. And that was the first time they were 14, 15 years old. They had never seen it before.
Right.
They had been in school.
Yeah.
They had been in public schools.
Yeah.
Never seen it. Never heard it. Never read it. Never even read the preamble to, the Constitution, the preamble to the Declaration of Independence. I would have them read portions of the Declaration of Independence and then see in the Constitution where, specifically in the Bill of Rights, each of the items of the Bill of Rights addressed a specific complaint against King George that was in the Declaration of Independence. So, like, not quartering of soldiers, freedom of speech, freedom of the religion, etc. So our schools, I remember I went through public schools in Florida, and I graduated from public schools. I had a great education in public schools. I love public schools when they're good. And we had civics classes, and we learned about American history.
Well, we don't anymore.
And we learned state history.
Yeah.
And, learned all sorts of stuff. And but nowadays it seems like the public schools either don't teach it at all or just give it a very short introduction. And it's at Guilford Old Home Day. We have an Old Home Day every year in Guilford in the summertime, and we have a parade. And I arranged for a group that I'm affiliated with to hand out copied little booklets that have the Declaration of Independence and the Constitution in them. And I figured, well, you know, with candy, right? Because it was all a lot of kids
lying
with candy. With candy. And I figured, well, we'd get rid of a couple of hundred of them. And I get these from a school in Michigan called Hillsdale College that gives them to me, these booklets. And we actually handed out over 400 of these in the little town of Guilford, mostly to kids, but there were parents scrambling to get copies themselves.
Yeah.
Because they didn't
surprised.
Have a, they didn't have a copy themselves.
I believe it. Yeah. I believe it. Yeah. I'm not sure. I think that although we're seeing an awful lot in many, you know, parts of our lives, our daily lives, the debate on what you can say and what you can't say, hopefully at the end of all of this, we will end back into like a more common sense part of living that allows for discourse, honest discourse. You know, we don't have to agree. Hello.
Correct. Yeah. I mean, so what is it going to take to get, you know,
history
and civics back in public schools?
I don't know if it'll ever come back the way it was. But I do know that if parents are plugged in, and homeschooling is bigger now than ever, that's a hope for me. Because people that homeschool their kids, generally speaking, homeschool them with a belief in how this country was formed and what it's supposed to be, right? They're not in school. They're teaching their kids at home. So homeschoolers, I think, are an important part of this messaging to get back to where we need to be.
Well, I'm pretty traditional. I think I consider myself pretty traditional, American value oriented. When I was growing up in the public schools in Tampa, every morning in our homeroom, we stood, we said the Pledge of Allegiance, and we said the Lord's Prayer.
Oh, wow.
And now, of course, you can't do that.
Can't get away with that
you
now.
You can't do that anymore.
No.
And
we do. We have the Pledge of Allegiance at Founders every day.
Okay.
And so it's a good thing.
Yes. You know, now basically the curriculum, a lot of times there's within the school boards, there are committees of curriculum committees that decide on the curriculum, decide on the textbooks. If you look at some of the textbooks that are currently being used, Jane, you've got curly hair already.
Yeah.
Your hair, if you had straight hair, your hair would curl.
I know, I've read them.
If you read some of the stuff that's in these textbooks.
Horrible.
That's crazy, crazy stuff. Un-American, anti-American stuff.
Right.
It's in the textbooks being used in our schools.
Right.
And how do you stop it? You stop it at the ballot box by electing different people to your school board and insisting that they reintroduce traditional American values into the school curriculum.
Yep. Yeah. Absolutely. Sounds like it's a big deal, big overwhelming thing. But you know what? If that five-person school board in little town America took this on, the change would happen at the bottom and it would grow.
Yep.
Let us hope. 103.9 1450 WKXL, nhtalkradio.com. In touch with Kaylin Cormier. Our guest today, Norm Silber, New Hampshire State Representative, practicing attorney. We'll be back right after these important messages. 103.9 1450 WKXL, nhtalkradio.com. In touch with Kaylin Cormier, Ken Kale, Jane Cormier, and Norm Silber with us today, state rep out of the Lakes region, practicing attorney. And I think we only have a little over a minute left in the program today. So, Jane, why don't we talk about again what's going to be taking place later this week, this weekend, as a matter of fact,
Sunday.
Windham.
Absolutely. Sunday, October 17th. 2 to 5, Empowering Parents. And this is from the Government Integrity Project. And for information on that, you can go to gipamerica.org. Again, it's Sunday, October 17th. It's in Windham, New Hampshire, 2 to 5 p.m. Because parents know what's best. I like that tagline.
That's right, like Father Knows Best,
that's
the old
right.
show.
Yes,
with Robert Young.
Yes.
Yeah, it's a good show.
I'm that old. Yeah,
I am too.
I remember that too.
Yeah. So, Norm, are you going to run for re-election next time around?
I am. Yep. I intend to, yes. And because I'm in it for the big money.
I know, $100 a year.
$100 a year, plus mileage.
Plus mileage.
Don't forget that.
And a nice plate, too.
But you have to pay for your own plate.
Yeah, I know.
And you have to pay for these business cards. I gave you one of my cards. You had to buy your own business cards, too. So.
Oh, my goodness.
So, and a if you want a badge, you have to pay for that yourself.
That's right.
The only thing that they give us for free is admission to state parks.
There you go.
Okay. But
that's a good thing.
There you go.
Well, Norm, thanks for being with us today. Really appreciate it.
My pleasure.
Lots of great insight. Jane, we'll see you again next week In Touch with Kale and Cormier right here, 1039-1450 WKXL, nhtalkradio.com.